Welcome to our service for the sixth Sunday of Easter. Appropriately enough, as I write these words, there's quite a blustery wind up here at the vicarage, because the wind of the Holy Spirit of God is our main theme today. We begin with that great invocation of the Spirit. Come down, O love divine. Today's psalm is what used to be called the Deus Misereator, very appropriate for the beginning of our time of penitence. May God be merciful to us and bless us, show us the light of his countenance and come to us. Let us confess our sins to Almighty God. Lord God, we have sinned against you and done evil in your sight. We are sorry and repent. Have mercy on us according to your love. Wash away our wrongdoing and cleanse us from our sin. Renew a right spirit within us and restore us to the joy of your salvation. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. May Almighty God have mercy upon us, pardon and deliver us from all our sins, confirm and strengthen us in all goodness, and keep us in eternal life. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And now the collect for the sixth Sunday of Easter. God, our Redeemer, you have delivered us from the power of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of your Son. Grant that as by his death he has recalled us to life, so by his continual presence in us he may raise us to eternal joy. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and for ever. Amen.
The first reading is from Acts chapter 16, verses 9 to 15. During the night, Paul had a vision. There stood a man of Macedonia, pleading with him and saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." When he had seen the vision, we immediately tried to cross over to Macedonia, being convinced that God had called us to proclaim the good news to them. We set sail from Troas and took a straight course to Samothrace, the following day to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, which is a leading city of the district of Macedonia and a Roman colony. We remained in this city for some days. On the Sabbath day, we went outside the gate by the river, where we supposed there was a place of prayer. And we sat down and spoke to the women who had gathered there. A certain woman named Lydia, a worshipper of God, was listening to us. She was from the city of Thyatira, and a dealer in purple cloth. The Lord opened her heart to listen eagerly to what was said by Paul. When she and her household were baptized, she urged us, saying, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come and stay at my home." And she prevailed upon us. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The second reading is from the Gospel of John, the 14th chapter, beginning at the 23rd verse. Jesus said to his disciples, "Those who love me will keep my word, and my Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but is from the Father who sent me. I have said these things to you while I am still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, I am going away, and I am coming to you. If you loved me, you would rejoice that I am going to the Father, because the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you this before it occurs, so that when it does occur, you may believe. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God."
Thank you.
May the words that I speak and the meditations of all our hearts be now and ever acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our Rock and our Redeemer. Amen. I'd like to look this morning at the reading from Acts chapter 16, but beginning a couple of verses earlier than the lectionary does, in verse 7. When they'd come opposite Mysia, they attempted to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. So passing by Mysia, they went down to Troas. During the night, Paul had a vision. There stood a man of Macedonia, pleading with him and saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." When he'd seen the vision, we immediately tried to cross over to Macedonia, being convinced that God had called us to proclaim the good news to them. I suppose there are two things there I'd like us to notice. The first is that this is one of those places where the narration in Acts changes from the third person plural to the first. They went down to Troas, we read in verse 8, but then in verse 10, when he'd seen the vision, we immediately tried to cross over to Macedonia. Without any particular explanation, it seems that the writer, whom we conventionally believe to be Luke, the beloved physician, is now part of the missionary party. Or perhaps Luke is directly transcribing from a first-person source written by somebody else. Either way, what we now have is a journal written by one of the travellers. And in this first-hand account, what is remarkable is that the decision about where they would go to next is made on the basis of a kind of spiritual perception. At one level, they can go anywhere. This is the second of Paul's missionary journeys. He'd started out with the idea of revisiting the places he had gone to in his first, to see how his converts in the infant churches were getting on. But now, the missionaries are moving on, so that, more or less by definition, anywhere they go to is a place that the gospel hasn't reached before. It's not certainly so. We must always remember, as we read Paul's missionary journeys in Acts, that somewhere or other Peter was engaged in missionary work, which would take him eventually to Rome, while John was engaged in work, which would take him eventually to Turkey, or Asia Minor, as it was then called. But almost certainly in Macedonia, Paul and his companions were going to break new ground for the gospel. But where they went was decided by spiritual insight and spiritual searching. They attempted first to go into Bithynia, but, we read, the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. And then Paul had a vision of a man from Macedonia saying, "Come over to Macedonia to help us." The vision came in the night, apparently. That does not necessarily mean that it came in a dream, however. We know from other passages in Acts that the missionary parties sometimes prayed and worshipped late into the night, perhaps because they were working to earn their bread in the daytime. So it may well have been in the context of worship and prayer that the vision came to Paul. Either way, it seems clear that they expected their mission to be guided by what they sensed in prayer. It was a spiritual matter. They took seriously that the idea that the Holy Spirit was present within them and among them, and that the Spirit would guide them in their work. From the day of Pentecost onwards, indeed, it was the Holy Spirit who directed them. We read last week of the dream that took Peter to Joppa, to the house of a Gentile. Peter later explained that when he was preaching in that house, the Holy Spirit fell on the people there just as it fell on us at first, that's to say, just as it fell on us at Pentecost. And so it was the Holy Spirit, they believed, who gave both authority and direction to the Gentile mission. Without the Spirit's appearing at Pentecost, they wouldn't have begun the mission. And without the sense of the Spirit continually with them, they could not have continued it. It was even the Spirit who decided that the Gentile Christians did not need to be circumcised. If the Spirit had fallen on Gentile people without their being circumcised first, it appeared that God would send his grace and blessings upon them without the need for that ceremony. All this throws into sharp relief the way we think about mission now in all our churchy busyness. I've been incredibly busy for the last 2 months. The Lent Bible study course which I led was quite labour-intensive. And then there was all the detailed planning for Holy Week and Easter services across our 6 churches. Since I got back from a brief holiday, funerals and bereavement have taken over the space which was previously filled by the Lent course. And taken together with the usual diet of Sunday services and these online services and the CDs, I sometimes feel that I've become just an organiser of organised religion. That's not an unimportant role, but what it increasingly means is that I don't have any time or energy left for disorganised religion. And I suspect that the disorganised religion is where the growth is, trying to perceive where the Spirit is working and following the Spirit's lead. Richard shared with us on Facebook this week a brief meditation about how excited he felt after a meeting with St Padan's, the Church in Wales Institute responsible for training ordinands, as he now is. He wrote, "I am riding the tip of the lance of the Holy Spirit." Clearly, St Padan's meetings are a bit more exciting than I'd imagined. But what truly excites Richard is his sense of vocation to mission. The same is true of Martin, who's more recently joined us. It would be my earnest hope for both of them that we don't conspire to train it out of them. Long-established churches like the Church of England or the Church in Wales tend not to think like missionaries, and we tend not to train our ministers to be the missionaries which, in these times, they need to be. You can think of missionary activity a bit like a solar flare, one of those huge bursts of energy which our sun gives off from time to time. Jesus told his disciples that they were to be the light of the world, and most of the time that means burning steadily and brightly, living lives of faith, hope and love, witnessing to the love of God in Christ. As Christ himself says, "Let your light shine before men, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven." We're to be like coals in a fireplace, giving light and warmth first to each other and then outward to our neighbours. But sometimes it's as though the wind of the Spirit blows upon the coals and turns that glow into the flame, and the love of God flares outward. That's how our mission needs to be, driven by the inspiration of the Spirit, and I'm quite sure that it sometimes needs to be disorganised, uncontrolled, risky. As we've already mentioned, long-established churches tend not to think like missionaries. We have a tendency to put on events and services to which we can invite people, even though it's increasingly clear that people are not going to come to us. We need to find ways in which we can go to them. Of course, it's not easy work. I honestly don't believe it's ever been more difficult, because secular unbelief seems so dominant in our culture. The apostles went out to preach about Jesus into a world where everybody believed in gods and the spiritual realm. It doesn't seem like that now. But scratch the surface of our modern scepticism and secularism, and you'll sometimes find surprising spiritual results. If, for example, I pray with or for somebody who apparently has no faith, it's amazing how often they'll be deeply moved, frequently to tears. The Spirit is alive and moving still, and we need to find the places where the Spirit is working. The Spirit is described in Scripture as the wind or breath of God, and as the old translation puts it, "The wind still blows wherever it listeth." We must be those who listen for its sound. Amen. It's time for our prayers. Our intercessions today will be led by Anthea, but we begin as usual with the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and for ever. Amen. En ta der hynoed yn y nefoedd, sancteiddiad y enw, deled y dernas gwneled y wychlis, megis yn y nef, fechli ar y ddear hefyd. Dydon ni heddiw ein bar o beinyddiol, y maddau i ni ein dyledion, fel y maddau o'n ninnau ein dyledwyr. Ac nac arwain ni y brofedigaeth, eitha gwared ni rhag drwg. Canu seitho ti o'r dernas a'r gallu a'r gogoniant yn oes oes oedd. Amen.
We come now to our prayers of intercession. Let us pray. Lord God, you are the Father of all people. We come before you today with our prayers, knowing that you will hear us, help us, and guide us. In the name of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. Almighty God, from whom all thoughts of truth and peace proceed, kindle, we pray, in the hearts of all, the true love of peace, and guide with your pure and peaceable wisdom those who take counsel for the nations of the earth, that in tranquillity your kingdom may go forward, till the earth is filled with the knowledge of your love. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and for ever. Amen. Dear Lord, in these times of uncertainty, it is good to know that we can depend on you, a secure foundation on which we have built, that no wind of change can ever shake or damage, and that in that knowledge we can endure all things, for you are there always, a firm rock beneath our feet. We pray for our divided world. We ask you to help us seek out opportunities to work for understanding and tolerance between people of different religious, social, racial, and political backgrounds. Help us to break down the barriers that divide rather than enhance us as a civilized people, and help us to create a world that celebrates our differences. We continue to pray for the people of Ukraine. We pray for the Ukrainian soldiers and civilians who have been unable to escape the bombing, especially in Mariupol, and who are living in fear for themselves and their families. We pray for those who have escaped and who are now seeking refuge in neighbouring countries. We pray for all those in this country and around the world who have opened their homes to give shelter to Ukrainian refugees. And we pray for the journalists who risk their lives to bring us accurate, unbiased reports of the war and its impact on the people of Ukraine. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for all those who are finding life difficult at this time, who are worried about their families, their finances, or their future. We pray for the many families struggling with life at present through illness, loss of work, mounting debt, and anxiety. May we be there when needed by our own family and close friends, but also when our neighbours, both near and far, need a shoulder to lean upon or simply a helping hand. That as community together, we can share your love in word and deed to your glory, loving God. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for all those who are sick or ill, for the frail and the elderly, and for those who are ill. Give them courage, hope, and peace, and the knowledge that you are with them in their weakness, pain, and suffering. We pray especially for those who have no one to help them, that in their loneliness they may know that you are always with them. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for the bereaved. Heavenly Father, we pray for all those whose hearts are saddened by the death of someone close and dear to them. Be with them in their sorrow. Uphold them with your strength, and let them know that they are not alone in their struggle today. Jesus Christ is the light of the world, a light which no darkness can quench. You turn our darkness into your light, and in your light shall we see light. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Danced in the morning when the world was begun, and I danced in the moon and the stars and the sun. I came from heaven, but I danced on earth in Bethlehem. I had my birth. Dance then, wherever you may be. I am the Lord of the dance, said he, and I'll lead you all. Wherever he may be, and I'll lead you all in the dance, said he. I danced for the scribe and the Pharisee. They wouldn't dance and they wouldn't follow me. I danced for the fishermen, for James and John, they came with me and the Sabbath and the cure the lame. The holy people said it was a shame. They whipped and they stripped and they hung me high and left me there on a cross to die. Come stand wherever you may be. I am the Lord of the dance, said he, and I'll lead you home wherever you may be, and I'll lead you all in the dance, said he. I danced on the Friday when the sky turned black. It's hard to dance with the devil on your back. They buried my body and they thought I had gone. I am the dance and I still go on. Dance and wherever you may be, I am the Lord of the dance, said he, and I'll lead you on wherever you may be, and I'll lead you on in the dance, said he. They club me down when I leap up high. I am the life that'll never, never die, and I'll live in you if you live in me. I am the Lord of the dance, said he. Dance, stand wherever you may be. I am the Lord of the dance, said he.
Easter blessing. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, that great Shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, and work in you always that which is well-pleasing in his sight. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, rest upon you and remain with you, this day and always. Amen.